You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Regular gum is boring, but Icebreakers ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreakers gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreakers ice cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
Welcome back to another episode of Brock and React. It's been a while since we've done one of these at a football game, but we had a spring football game today at Ferro Field. It was, for the most part, a regular game. No life tackling, running clock. It was very low scoring. We saw some mix and match offensive lines going up against, you know, some very talented defensive linemen, especially the transfers that have come in really shine today. But we saw some good things on both sides of the ball. Also some things that the team clearly is going to need to work on going forward. Just in kind of starting out, the offensive takeaways from the day. Final score was 10-9. There wasn't a ton to really talk about there. Josh Manning had his, a great touchdown catch, in the second half. They really kind of propelled Team Black to that win. We saw Team Gold go for the two-point conversion to be a little bit bold and try to take the lead towards the end. Didn't work out, obviously. But just kind of starting with you, Adine, just your takeaways from the offensive side of the ball for either team.
I think that we really saw the importance of having a quarterback that, you know, is experienced with distributing the ball. I mean, you saw that a lot of Brady Cook's weapons were on the Gold team, his main weapons like Norfleet, Cooper, Burden, Weiss, you know, things of that nature. And yet he was still able to distribute the ball very well and actually get the Black offense moving in the first half as opposed to the second half where the Black offense kind of stagnated, to be honest with you, without him on the field. I think that saw really good things from the wideouts today, but, you know, some decision-making issues from Brady, I would say, like some pretty, you know, iffy balls that he threw that were kind of not really going to have a chance, but also credit to the DBs on those kind of plays. Didn't get to really see much of the running backs today, unfortunately, because with no contact, I mean, you're not really going to see that much if they get, you know, they really would just blow a whistle if someone was even close to somebody. So when there's running backs, you're not going to see much of them. We also didn't see much of them in the pass game, but Coach actually said in post game that we haven't seen what they saw in spring, but that has been working out really well. So that's really all I have to say for what I saw on offense today. I didn't see much.
Mr. Quentin?
Yeah, I think spring games are naturally going to make it tough to score, especially considering that it's mostly two-hand touch. You can't tackle, so that makes running the ball and not very explosive endeavor most of the time. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to take away from guys like Nate Noel and Marcus Carroll, because when you run up the middle in two-hand touch, you're basically asking to be brought down, yeah. In heavy air quotes, after a few yards. And so, I mean, two touchdowns of the game were on long pass completions. Mm-hmm. One of them was on a trick play where the defense is supposed to move out of the way. And so, yeah, there wasn't a whole lot to take away offensively. I did like, though, if we're talking about people that we really liked individually, Josh Manning, I thought, had a very good day. He lost a jump ball rep to Jamarion Wayne early on in the game, and that one was very 50-50. Wayne ripped the ball out of Manning's grasp at like the last second. He said in the post-game presser that he wanted to get back, and he got one when he was found deep for a really long touchdown. And so I think he's sort of next in line for Mizzou's next great jump ball artist. Theo Weiss is probably going to pass that mantle after this season. Marquise Johnson is more of a speedster. And I'm trying to think of anybody else in Mizzou's depth chart that has that. I think Josh Manning would probably be number one. So it was good to see him play well today. He's definitely someone that Mizzou's going to need to step up, even though the wide receiver room is arguably the most loaded position group on the team. It will be nice for him to show flashes too, even if he doesn't get a ton of playing time early on.
And he was your offensive MVP of the game. Josh Manning was. And you touched on the trick plays. You saw two double pass plays with very varied results. But I think if you even hit one of the two, you're winning with that. And Curtis Looper said post game, coach the team black said that they had a third one they wanted to run, and Kirby Moore kind of shot it down a little bit. So they had plenty to throw out there on the field that they didn't even use all they wanted to. But yeah, I think offensively, you know, I think Noel looked really comfortable pass catching out of the backfield, kind of as expected. Outside of that, you didn't see a ton from the running backs, but I did love, and we'll touch on just the more of the secondary as well, but the battles between that wide receiver core and the secondary are just high level, really. You know, the cliche iron sharpens iron is thrown around a lot, but it is very true in this instance, I do believe. And I think, you know, those two units are really, talk a lot about, you know, oh, is there going to be drop off in the secondary? I really think this wide receiver group is training them to prevent that from happening. So, and flipping it over, defensive side of the ball, you know, they really dominated the day. We saw a lot of transfers flash. I'll go ahead and start by saying the defensive lines, I think, you know, we'll touch a lot on the secondary. Defensive lines, very disruptive against some offensive lines that were patchwork for sure, not what you normally see from them. But Chris McClellan, I thought, really flashed as well. You saw Firestone get a sack. Joe Moore, I believe, got one as well. And they were just in the quarterback's pocket a lot. You saw, you know, the QBs scrambling a ton today. Which sometimes for Ray Cook, that works out for his benefit. But for the younger guys, I think you saw them really flustered sometimes, throwing off their back foot a lot. So I was really impressed with the defensive lines. But Dean, what'd you think about the defenses?
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, that whole iron sharpens iron mentality. I feel like a lot of people are going to be worried about, you know, per se, with the fact that we got people like Ray Straw and Abram Strain heading out. But I think that there is no better practice in the country when it comes to against a wide receiver group than this one. This wide receiver, I mean, we saw Joshua Manning get offensive MVP. I mean, this wide receiver group is so deep and has so many threats on it that a whole summer of practice with this group for these DBs is going to, they're going to come out flying. I feel like people are going to be very surprised with how good they are. Toyano Pride today was absolutely fantastic. I mean, he was jawing with players. He was really competitive out there in the spring game. He was playing it like it was, you know, a college football playoff game. He was playing really well. He went up for, had a really nice interception. He's got really good ball skills in the air as a defensive back. I really liked what I saw from him. I think he's going to be an X factor for the Tigers on defense. As far as everyone else, like Parker said, the defensive line was fantastic. McClellan was really disruptive. I saw him in the backfield a ton. Now, does that have to be attributed to the fact that, you know, an offensive line is really built on chemistry and playing together? Yes. But is that still encouraging to see? Yes. Is someone I really wanted to see more of today, though, that I really didn't hear his name that much, was Zion Young. But I think that if he keeps on developing over the summer, we could see him be a really big contributor. But yeah, from the defensive side of the ball, I thought it was really good. I think it's really hard to differentiate whether it was the offense not really clicking or was it the defense really clicking, but I think the defense felt really good about the way they played today. You know, Caleb Flagg really showed out really well, but yeah, I'll just pass it on to Quinn.
Yeah, I was going to talk a little bit about Caleb Flagg. He was named the defensive MVP today. He had a big interception late. It was one of those throws where I'm blanking on who the quarterback was that threw it. I can't remember if it was Glover or Brown or Blood.
I think it was Glover.
It was Glover. It was one of those throws where if I were the quarterback, the second I would have released the ball, I would have realized it wasn't a great throw, because as he was about to throw it, the receiver looked open. But the second he released it, Flagg was closing in on it, and he got a pick. And I did appreciate after each interception, these kinds of games, it's not much, but they do show you a little bit of how connected a team is. And it was very apparent, especially on the defensive side of the ball, when they came away with a couple of takeaways. Everybody would run to the end zone, and everybody would pile on the person that had just made the play. And the same went for when Flag pulled off the interception, and that was very encouraging to see.
Yeah, I mean, we also saw on the same note, we saw a lot of kind of friendly back and forth and banter between the two sides. I saw multiple times Marquise Johnson, who was having to carry a pretty heavy load for Team Black, just with Weiss and Burden and Mookie all on the other side of the ball. Marquise was getting kind of hounded by the Gold sideline throughout the game whenever he'd come by. Players kind of whenever he'd, you know, get missed on a pass, or, you know, maybe he would get locked up. You know, Theo Weiss was in his ear, which, you know, one may look at it and be like, why are you trash talking your own player? That's part of, you know, a spring game where you've got something on the line. Like, I believe it was the head coach of the team getting in the cold bath, or it was the whole team entirely. I'm not exactly sure on what the consequences were of losing today, but it was something along those lines. DJ Smith, I know for a fact, will be in the cold tub, at least from what they said. But yeah, I think, you know, a lot of good kind of healthy competition like that. I think Luther Burns has been notorious for that throughout his years here, kind of getting into it with people in a healthy way. You need that within your program. And then touching on Zion Young and Chris McClellan, just seeing them on the field, kind of field level for the first time. Zion Young is just a freak of nature in terms of how he is built and how long he is and how tall he is. And I just think there's no way, if he continues to progress, that he doesn't make an impact on this team this season, just because he's built like, you know, the dream, you know, NFL defensive end, essentially, with that reach. If he can add some more speed to that, that'll be huge. And then Chris McClellan is all of 6'3", 320 pounds, if not more. I think they're probably shorting him a little bit on both respects, because he is just imposing out there. He's probably the most, potentially maybe up there with Darius Robinson, probably the most intimidating Missouri Tiger football player I've seen since I've been here, unless I'm really just blanking on someone. But yeah, physically he looks the part. But in looking ahead now, offseason awaits, transfer portal opens back up in April for a brief stint. Then you have the offseason workouts leading into fall camp. Some more of the fall enrollees will arrive in fall camp as well, and we'll see some of them take the field too. And looking ahead, just kind of from what went down today, what are y'all thinking team might need to improve on? Look in the transfer portal for some guys. You know, what are you really confident in heading into the season, even at this point? And kind of how do you potentially see this team maybe changing or developing between now and when fall camp kicks off?
I think that if you want to pinpoint on something they need to look for that was a big asset to them last year, it's kicking. The kicking performance today was lackluster at best. I really felt like we are not going to have that range that we had, which, I mean, yes, of course, saying a lot, because we lost Mavis and he's a fantastic kicker. But I think that it would do this team well to look for a kicker in the portal, if it's even possible in the April window, and bring someone in who can, you know, bring us some surefireness at the, you know, field goal kicking unit. Because, I mean, that 10 yards of field position that you won't have to give up if you have a kicker that can make those 50, 55-yard field goals is huge. As far as any other spots on the team, I don't really see it. I think this group is really well. I think the coaches have even expressed how confident they are in this group right now. And I think they have every reason to be, because they looked very good out there today as far as just like as being as a cohesive unit and doing what they could do with what they had. Obviously, very split rosters. I think this team is going to be exactly what we hope it will be. Are there question marks to be raised? We will not know until game one. That's just the reality of it. But I think this team looks really well, really good.
I think just figuring out everyone's roles that make them the best player they could possibly be is definitely going to be something to emphasize. And obviously it's very early. It's only mid-March. But there are a lot of new guys this year, a lot of new guys that will be playing prominent positions on both sides of the ball. I'm curious to see how the Noel Carroll tandem is going to work out, because you can't replace Cody Schrader, not just because Cody Schrader played extremely well, but only Cody Schrader is Cody Schrader, and only Nate Noel is Nate Noel, and only Marcus Carroll is Marcus Carroll. So I'm curious to see how that 1-2 is going to play itself out. And then defensively, with a new system and, again, a lot of incoming transfers and a lot of guys departing, especially in the defensive back room. But then again, there are a lot of young guys that were here last year and showed flashes. And so I think it's going to take some time for that to happen. But I'm curious to monitor the development of that, because this year's team, it will look different. How different, I'm not sure, but it will look different to an extent.
And I think on a similar vein to that, something I've been asking about throughout spring and then also interested to see how it plays on the fall is you lose so many big voices on the defensive side of the ball, like Darius Robinson, that trio of defensive tackles, and then the cornerback duo, obviously. Who's going to step up, be that next vocal leader for this unit? You've heard things, you know, the safety room, which is very experienced, Joseph Charleston, Dalen Carnell kind of leading that charge as well. But, you know, which of these transfers is going to step up and be a big-time voice? You know, are Chuck Hicks and Newsom now that you know, this is their job, this is going to be their defense to kind of run from that linebacker spot, are they going to really be able to step up and be vocal leaders? That's something I'm keeping an eye out for. Kicking as well, I think looking in the portal for a kicker would I think be beneficial for sure, at least to increase competition. Punting as well, even though you've already landed one, I think, you know, a kick can still help. I would add in, if you're just, I mean, to Dean's point, this roster is very well-rounded and deep right now. I still, if you're really nitpicking, I think offensive line, you could still use a little bit more depth and land one or two more guys. I think we've heard rumors of that's where Mizzou's really kind of looking to go in this next portal cycle. You know, defensive line similar. You can always use more depth in those places, cornerback room. So, but really, I think this, you look top to bottom on paper, and, you know, it's been dissected throughout these past couple months, really ever since the Cotton Bowl ended, but on paper, this team is a college football playoff caliber team. See what they do in the transfer portal. We'll see how summer workouts go in the fall. We'll see when some new faces arrive on campus in the fall, if they're able to kind of make an impact and shift up some of the depth chart. But the countdown does now begin to Murray State's opener, where there will be, I believe, the airfield today. It's a stripe out throw for that game. So go ahead and start planning out your clothes, I guess, for that one on August 31st. One of those 2 days, August 30th. Yeah, something like that. And Dean and Quinn will be there. I unfortunately will not be writing for Rocket Nation by that point, but these two phenomenal writers and journalists will exceed my coverage by all means. So do follow with them as they travel, and travel to a lot of locations next year as well. So follow their coverage; it should be a good time. But that wraps up for Rocket Reacts post game at the Missouri Spring Football Game.
Regular gum is boring, but Icebreakers ice cubes are different. They're fancy. Icebreakers gum has flavor crystals, which deliver a rush of cool, refreshing flavor. Plus, they are delightfully cube-shaped, making them soft and satisfying to chew. Icebreakers Ice Cubes gum. Ooh, fancy. Pick up your favorite flavor today.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Gravity had a good run, but it's time to feel the weightlessness of the Brooks Glycerin 21. These running shoes feature nitrogen-infused DNA Loft V3 cushioning. Brooks has even magnified the plushness to elevate the softness to new levels. And if you want extra support, find these same features in the Brooks Glycerin GTS 21. Learn more and shop now at brooksrunning.com. That's brooksrunning.com.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Rock M Radio, a proud partner of Fans First Sports Network. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to see more just like it beamed directly into your personal device, just click the subscribe button below. And you can find this podcast through the Apple Podcast app or for iPhone or the Google Podcast app for Android or whatever app you use to listen to your podcast. We are also available on Spotify. Just search for Rock M Radio. And if you like other sports, Fans First Sports Network is a podcast network that has coverage of all other teams, Major League Baseball, MLS, NFL, whatever you want to listen and read about. It is a great, great network full of really fantastic podcasts. So look them up and subscribe to any and all of those podcasts. Rock M Radio will be back with more episodes coming soon. Thanks.